Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 11, in which there's 32 verses of King James Version and translation and commentary. This has to do with that we must keep all the commandments of the Lord. We must love the Lord. Amen. Read the header that I have there.
The Lord's requirements and how that it is a must to love the Lord.
Love the Lord. Okay, why is it a must to love the Lord? Because it's the first commandment. It's amazing that people are not ready with the double-edged sword. We're to love, that's the first word of the Ten Commandments. The Lord God with all of our heart, all of it, all the soul, all the mind, and all the strength. And the Lord says, if you're not with me, you're against me. And that goes like in marriage. If a woman is not with you, she's against you. If she's against you, she hasn't got an ounce of love in her heart. She's the enemy. She's the same to you as Satan is to the Lord if a person doesn't love him. He said, you are my friends if you keep all my commandments. A person that says that he loves me and keeps not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. Does that offend some of you people? But God says that that's what it is. You say, if you love me, keep my commandments, he said. If you don't love me, if you're not with me, then you're against me. And if you're against the Lord, it's the same thing. Against the Lord means anti the Lord. And Antichrist is the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't keep the Lord's commandments, if you don't love him, then that means that you're an Antichrist. And if the Lord tells you to obey those that have the rule over you and obey your husband, and you don't, it doesn't say obey your wife. The Lord says, obey your husband and everything. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so if you don't do that, then that shows you don't love the Lord. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Because that's his commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to enter heaven, then keep my commandments. You know, this is for your own good. Amen?
Amen.
And so, Father, we know how to enter heaven. That is to know you. And to know you is to know that we have to keep your commandments. Every knee will bow, but every eye is going to be looking up and seeing you come down with wrath. When we talk to somebody, we look at them, unless we're retarded. When we talk to you, we look upward, as Jesus did. The heads are not bowed, the knee are to be bowed, and to bow down before you. When we talk to you, Lord, we look up and say, Father, anoint this tape. Open up the ears of all the people that hear it. Let them learn from this. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. Let them learn that the most important thing is to know you. Because that's how we enter heaven, is to know you. The people that don't know you, who think they're doing a great job for you, you'll say to them, Jesus, depart from me. I never knew you, and you didn't know me. You didn't know that these words were supposed, absolutely, it was absolutely a must to keep my word. If you don't keep my word, you're not keeping me. If you're not keeping my word, Jesus, you say that we're not your friend. If we're not keeping you, and if we're not your friend, then we've utterly forsaken you. And you don't exist in us anymore. There's no love. And you said the love of many would wax old in the last days. And you tell the people, you've given them some space to repent here, because some of them are still alive. And you tell them, repent before it's too late. And you become not only do my word, but be zealous about it. Be extremely zealous about loving me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, then you're my friend. Which is to say, if you don't, you're not my friend. And all unfriendly people shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We must love you, keep your commandments in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Read the header again, please.
The Lord's requirements and how that it is a must to love the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And then what else does it say?
Verse 1, you must love the Lord your God and obey all his...
All his what?
Requirements.
All means 100%, right?
Right.
All of his requirements. What does he require?
That you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Mm-hmm. And to keep all of his commandments, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
That you obey all his requirements, laws.
All his laws. What is his laws? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not be a lesbian, a homosexual. Thou shalt not be effeminate. Thou shalt not fornicate. Thou shalt love others as yourself and prefer others before yourself. There's some people that you can see they don't have any of those laws that they keep or any of the requirements. They are lost. Because they don't believe anything is a must. They think that it's better to be a nerd than it is to be a person that loves the Lord. They just think that their own way is a lot better than the Lord's way. And then what else?
Regulations.
To keep his rules and regulations. And then what else?
And commands.
All of his commandments. He says, because if you keep all the commandments and then break one of them, you've broken them all. And some people break every one of his commandments every day. I mean, literally every one, every day. And how can I say that? Because the Lord says if they break one or two commandments a day, they've broken them all, haven't they?
Yes.
All right. So how can they consider themselves to be saved, redeemed, transformed? They got a weird way of thinking. Well, Father, Lord, God, anoint this. Let everything that's said here this evening by me be anointed by your Spirit, and let your Spirit anoint every word in this scripture, and let it be straightened out in their minds. Oh, I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
The Lord's requirements and how that it is a must to love the Lord. King James Version, verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes, and his judgments and his commandments alway.
Is it a judgment of the Lord? I mean, we had a person here that lets their little children go out running around without any clothes on. We don't allow that in the church, so I had to ask that person to leave today. They knew better than that because they've been here for years. That is never to happen. The mother, her duty is to check the children before they go outside. Amen?
Amen.
To play. And she is gone. Just praise and thank the Lord for that, because the Lord is not going to bless a church that would allow or suffer that sort of thing to go on. You're to keep covered. You're to dress in modest apparel. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what love is to make sure all that is done. She says, well, the little three-year-old dresses herself. I have a three-year-old, and she's the smartest thing I've ever seen in my life. She's smarter than the adults that I know. And we don't allow her. She dresses herself if she wants to, but we always check her before she goes outside. Amen?
Amen.
Or whether she even starts roaming around the house. I don't check her at all. I have never seen one of my children, even my sons. I have never seen their nakedness, or my daughter for sure, and I never want to. And I certainly don't want anyone else to. And anybody that would is not of the Lord. Okay? If you love the Lord, keep those commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 2. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. Verse 3, and his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt and unto all his land.
You know, you'd think that if people saw the God tell everybody through one of his prophets, I'm going to turn the oceans with blood. They're going to look like they're going to be blood tomorrow. And that it happened, you'd think that people would start listening to God and that they'd fear him. Amen?
Amen.
And that the land is going to be covered with lice. And that will come to pass. And then it's going to be, everything is going to be loaded with frogs. The land is going to stink from them. And it's going to be in your bedrooms and in your kneading troughs where you knead your bread and everything. And it would come to pass. You'd think people, mere flaky people, would begin believing God. Amen?
Amen.
And believing the prophet of the Lord that would say something like that. And you'd think people, then all the other ten plagues, plus the Lord saying, I'm going to kill every one of the firstborn people in Egypt of every family. And then the Lord would do that. You'd think that people would start fearing God, because all he has to do is just say the word that tomorrow you're going to die. And if he says that, by God, you're going to die tomorrow if he says that. I remember I told that to a man in the church. God plainly told me that this guy, I'm going to kill him. And I told him, and it's on tape. I says, young man, do you know that God is going to kill you? Because he didn't want to take care of baby Christians. He wanted to tend to a hog farm that they had out in Unionville, Arkansas. He had a cup of coffee. I mean, he knew he wasn't supposed to be drinking coffee. He was supposed to be in the prayer room praying. And instead, he was outside letting the baby Christian see his horrible example of breaking the rules. And I says, what are you laughing about? How come you're not in there? He says, the Lord says, I'm going to kill him. He told me that right there. I says, young man, do you know the Lord's going to kill you? He said, yes, sir. You know, just like mockingly. I don't know. I thought, you know that, huh? And this was on a tape. It was being taped. He said, yes, sir. I says, and you don't care? He said, well, no, I don't know. Within a week or two, I don't even remember because I'm so busy. I'm doing some other kind of things. I don't let them go up on the roof unless I authorize them, because he wanted to go. Without telling me, he went with the roofing crew, and he's not a roofer. And this one, Gilbert Vincent, who was the roofer, had all these skylights covered with butcher paper. Why? I have no idea. And he didn't know that there was a window underneath that butcher paper. And he was walking aimlessly on top of the roof and just stepped into the butcher paper and went down two stories and fell flat on his back on solid concrete floor down below. And he died that day. They rushed him to the hospital. He was still breathing. I saw him on the breathing machine, and he was huffing and puffing like you can't believe. And the blue light went on, and all these people started running towards him. And the blue light, I understood then, was that when somebody is, they stop breathing. And there was a young man in the prayer room over at the church. He's in the hospital, but at the church there was a man in the prayer room. And he said this Happy Howard, who it was that fell through the window, he saw a vision of me, and he was screaming, please pray for me. I'm going to hell. Please pray for me. Like in a panic. And he just was mocking God. The Lord said that he wants us to bear fruit, and he wants us to feed the sheep. This is one of the things that he told Peter. After Peter denied him three times, the Lord forgave him, but he asked him three times, do you love me, Peter? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, well, feed my sheep. Well, Happy Howard didn't want to feed the lambs of the Lord, the human beings that were saved. He wanted to feed the pigs. And he thought that feeding the pigs would be the equivalent, I guess, would be serving the Lord. That would be serving the Lord his way. The Lord, first of all, doesn't like pigs. Amen?
Amen.
and commands people not to eat them. And then, but he does tell us many times to feed the lambs, to take care of the household of faith. And the Lord doesn't care that much about animals as much as he didn't die for pigs. He died for human souls. Amen?
Amen.
And so, sure enough, Happy Howard gave up the ghost that day, just like the Lord told me he was going to do, and it didn't surprise me. But it put fear in me that when God says something, it's going to happen. And if the Lord pronounces or told me that one of you is going to die, you can bank on it that you're going to die. And that's why, you know, you have to love what the Lord says. You have to love His, keep His commandments, all right? Otherwise, He's going to kill you, all right? When He tells you to obey those that have the rule over you, you have to do that, amen?
Amen.
Not because I say so. I'm just polyparroting what the Lord says. And if you don't like the way I say it, it doesn't make any difference if I or a jackass says it. And you may say, well, we think you're a jackass too. Well, then it doesn't make no difference whether you think I'm a jackass or what I am. Yeah, the Lord told me to tell you to do that, and His Bible, His Word tells you to do that too. Amen?
Amen.
And I am the pastor, and I have the rule over you, and I have the rule over this whole world, because He says, tell everybody that I'm coming back to earth again. I'm commanded to do that. And everybody better listen to me, because I'm the one that God has sent to say that and to tell you that He's strict and He's the God of wrath and He's a terrorist and He hates. And there's more of that in the Bible than His love. His love is that He has tough love, that He warns you in a, like if He tells you to do something and you see a bunch of people not doing, then all of a sudden they come to a cruel end. The Lord gives them that tough love and shows you, hey, they didn't do what I said, and as love towards you, I destroyed them to show you that my word is true. There's a lot of people that the Lord is destroying now. We're well into the tribulations. It's not going to get better either, folks. It's going to get worse. You think you see wars, rumors of wars, pestilence. You see vapors of smoke lying over the cities, which is smog. You see that which is good being called evil now. The Bible is now being called evil. And you hear them saying that evil is good. And you see the Jews now preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. I'm a Jew. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. That's as Hebrew as you can get. All right? And I am a Romanian, which means part Italian and part a Jew. My dad's real name is Boris Alfonso Lazar. That is a Jew. And he looks as Jewish as Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. And we are Jewish. And even my grandfather on my mother's side, his name is Torah. That's as Jewish as the name as you can get. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the first five books of the Bible are called. And so here we are preaching the gospel to you Gentiles in the last days. And you just better listen. And you better, it's important to love the Lord. That's the most important thing. It's the first thing said in the Ten Commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know, people, if you don't get the message from the Lord within a 24-hour period of time, I see that people just immediately start falling away. So if they went 2 days without these messages, it's just like the whole church turns into pandemonium, into like chaos and confusion. So I'm just really happy that the Lord told me to be obedient to Him and to read these scriptures and break them down to everybody so that they know what they mean. And you better listen, because the Lord has given me a real good understanding of His scriptures, all right? And He's commanded and compelled me to do them, because if I don't do them, then there's no finances coming in. There's not enough money to be a good testimony for the Lord, to give glory to Him. How do you give glory to the Lord?
By doing everything that He tells you to do.
But you say it so the folks
by doing
hear.
Everything He tells you to do.
Yeah. Jesus said, I gave glory to you, Father, by doing everything you commanded me to do. And so that's the only way that we can give glory to the Father, is to do everything that we are commanded by him in his word to do. And we can't know that unless we read it. If you read it and know it and you don't do it, well, then you're not going to heaven. You don't know the Father, and you don't know the Son whom the Father has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you glorify God, is to do everything the Father says and everything that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that God has sent here to this world to tell us and explain to us, that that is what we must do. And you break that, and you're just breaking yourself, just like Greg Howard, Happy Howard, they called him. Well, he wasn't happy when he was on that breathing machine. I was standing right there when he died. And God is not a ghost. I'm so tired of people calling God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. God is the Spirit, not a ghost. And the Lord doesn't want us to be led by the ghost, because he wants us to be led by his Spirit. God is a Spirit. And those that love him, that will worship him in spirit, not in ghost, but in spirit and in truth, which is the word of God, which is Jesus. Okay, let's continue on.
Verse 4. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots.
Yeah, what did he do to them? He drowned them all. The whole, do you think people would fear God like this, for God's sake? Anybody that doesn't fear that kind of a God, you've got to be insane. And I'm talking to presidents and kings and everybody. I thank God that he made me the person that's telling all these ones, because I'm not inferior to them. I am superior to them, because they don't follow what he does. And they're going to be lost if they don't repent. Then what?
How he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. Verse 5. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into this place. Verse 6. And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession.
Swallowed up their pots and pans and their baskets full of manna and everything. Half chewed on and manna. They just barely got dinner with breakfast. Okay, then what?
In the midst of all Israel. Verse 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it.
Yeah, you keep the commandments so you can be strong and so you can keep what the Lord gives you. If God gives you a bunch of things in this world, a home and a church and facilities where you can swim and work out in and things like that, you better keep the commandments so that you can keep them. Otherwise, he'll send somebody in here to grab them. Amen, like he did last time. Amen?
Amen.
They carry your bed away. Everybody fled when they couldn't even take their beds and pictures of their and heirlooms from their family. It happened at breakfast time. They had half-eaten bowls of oats and Wheaties and cornflakes and stuff, and they left their spoons in the dishes as they fled. Maybe a couple bites out of a cinnamon roll. Okay, then what?
Verse 9, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 10, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. Verse 11, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Verse 12, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Verse 13, And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 14, That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Verse 15, And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Verse 16, Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Translation, verse 1 through 16. The Lord's requirements and how that it is a must to love the Lord. Verse 1, You must love the Lord your God and obey all his requirements, laws, regulations, and commands. Verse 2, Listen! Exclamation mark. I am not talking now to your children who have never experienced the discipline of the Lord your God or seen his greatness and awesome power. Verse 3.
Yeah, I was telling them the other day, you know, the Lord makes us free moral agents, but he commands us to be disciplined by him. He wants us to choose to be disciplined by the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can choose to be disciplined by the Lord, or you can choose to not be disciplined by the Lord at all, to just walk in the spirit of Satan. But you're a free moral agent in so much as that you can choose one way or the other, but there's no other way you can go. You have to either choose the Lord or Satan. And if you don't love the Lord, you have chosen Satan. There's just no other way to cut it. You can, you know, pooch your lips out like, you know, you're pouting or something about that, but that won't cut any ice. You're still going to burn. Now, you just either, as a free moral agent, must choose one route or the other. It's either God or Satan. You must choose to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit and to make yourself be disciplined by the discipline of the Holy Spirit, or to just go under the discipline of Satan. So, free moral agent just means that we can choose between the two. That's all that means. Then what?
They weren't there to see the miraculous signs and wonders he performed in Egypt against Pharaoh and all his land. Verse 4, They didn't see what the Lord did to the armies of Egypt and to their horses and chariots, how he drowned them in the Red Sea as they were chasing you, and how he has kept them devastated to this very day! Exclamation mark. Verse 5, They didn't see how the Lord cared for you in the wilderness until you arrived here. Verse 6, They weren't here to see what he did to Dathan and Abiram, bracket the sons of Eliab and a descendant of Reuben, and bracket, when the earth opened up and swallowed them, along with their households and tents and every living thing that belonged to them. Verse 7, But you have seen all the Lord's mighty deeds with your own eyes! Exclamation mark. How God blesses people that are obedient. Verse 8, Therefore, be careful to obey every command I am giving you today, so you may have strength to go in and occupy the land you are about to enter.
If you're careful to obey all that the Lord has commanded, then the Lord knows you believe him. And if you are not careful, he knows that you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the word of God, and so therefore you're not saved. You don't have eternal life. Okay, then what?
Verse 9, If you obey, you will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors and to you, their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey! Exclamation mark. Verse 10, For the land you are about to enter and occupy is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you planted your seed and dug out irrigation ditches with your foot as in a vegetable garden. Verse 11, It is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain. Verse 12, A land that the Lord your God cares for. He watches over it day after day throughout the year! Exclamation mark. Verse 13, If you carefully obey all the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and if you worship him, verse 14, Then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, so you can harvest crops of grain, grapes for wine, and olives for oil. Verse 15, he will give you lush pasture land for your cattle to graze in, and you yourselves will have plenty to eat. Verse 16, but do not let your heart turn away from the Lord to worship other gods. King James Version, verse 17. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart, and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19.
Yeah, put them on signboards all around you. If you've got a weak mind, you can't remember to fear the Lord all the time, keep his commandments, then put, you know, you better carry a sign in your hand all the time, because it's for your very soul. Okay? You better do that, or just wear, you know, instead of putting Nike on your t-shirts, put those signs on your t-shirt. Amen?
Amen.
And put one right in front of you. Put a little wire around your neck with a stave that goes up with it. Little note on it that says these things. Amen?
Amen.
Because Nike or Adidas and all that kind of garbage isn't going to get you anywhere, all right? You have to worship the Lord rather than these Japanese manufacturers, okay? The tennis shoes and t-shirts, all right? Brethren, all right, then what else?
Verse 19, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house.
See, that's what it says. It's right up everywhere. You know, it doesn't make any difference to me if you want to do that around your houses. If you can't, if you're so weak-minded that you can't remember these things, if the Spirit hasn't filled your heart with them and written them on your heart, then get them in front of your face all day long. Put them on your cars, trucks, buses, everything. Get the word out. And get that reminder in front of your eyes. And what else?
And upon thy gates. Verse 21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Verse 22, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments...
See, this is conditional, though. It's not unconditional love, it's conditional. If you keep these commandments, then what happens?
Which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him.
Not just some of them, but all the ways, then what?
And to cleave unto him. Verse 23, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you.
Yeah, you wonder why God hasn't driven sickness, disease, and also all these different enemies of yours, and why there's no peace in your life, and there's always the bill collectors is coming and all these things. It's because you're not keeping all of his commandments. It says in the Bible, I know that, you know, for a long time, we had problems with that too. And then finally, I was just wondering why, Lord? I mean, these people are not... Is it because of the fact that there's no older Christians in this church that are reading with baby Christians and so on? And there's no enough finance that's coming in? Everything is like, you know, we can't do anything. And then he said, you do it. They won't, but you do it. So I did. And immediately, the next day, thousands of dollars started pouring in. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Amen?
Amen.
And then millions of dollars started coming into the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then I thought, oh my God, it's because I wasn't doing everything that the Lord said to do. Amen?
Amen.
I wasn't reading the Bible with them every day like because I shouldn't have relied on them. I thought I was just supposed to do a tract once a month. But now I'm doing one and two and three chapters a day in the Bible. And logging them up in advance. I just finished the whole book of John today. Which, what's the date, today's date?
27th.
The 27th of the month of August. Amen?
Amen.
2004. Amen. So now I'm starting on another book today. I love it. And I love the blessings that come forth by my obeying, keeping that commandment. I wasn't pleasing the Lord enough to get enough finances in here to build the churches and get our television studio and our recording studio and our fitness center. Now we've got it all. Amen?
Amen.
And we wanted a basketball court, and it was all tied up in Fort Smith, and that door opened up, and we got that. There was enough money to pay for that cash. And then also a transmission and mechanic shop in Fort Smith, and to take care of our lights in Los Angeles, and to do some development there and in Fort Smith and out in the Texarkana area and everywhere. I mean, the money's coming in so that we can do something for the Lord even more. Now we're going to go on the internet with our television program. We're going to cut gospel music. So if you do, you know, if you please the Lord, and you just do everything that he says, you're my friend if you do everything I tell you to do, well, then you won't have any more sickness, disease, illness, or lack of funds. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm sure I'm not doing everything right now. I'm just wondering, Lord, tell me what I'm not doing so I can even have more. Amen?
Amen.
To give to you. I don't want to be short. I don't want to shortchange you. If there's more that I can do, let me know. Because I'll gladly do. If you want me to do two or three chapters a day or four chapters, what do you want me to do? Because I want more blessings. I'll tell you, having blessings is better than not having them. Amen?
Amen.
They say, well, you know, I don't need riches to, you know, to be happy. I don't either, but I'm happier with them. Okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Give me a chance to be rich or poor, I'll take the riches all the time. Okay? Because I was poor. You know, we didn't have a lot of money. And I was still happy, but I'm happier now. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm happy to get the direction from the Lord. And look at all this direction you people are getting from the Lord. And if you do that, you're not going to have any of this stuff taken away from you. And when they try to come in to kill you, they can't. They can't. The Lord says he'll protect you. So, you know, do what he says, all right? It's for your good, amen,
yeah.
And my good. Doesn't make sense to, you know, just act like this as though he's strict, or, you know, he's like a slave driver. Hey, it's for your and my good, amen?
Amen.
Not for the Lord's good. He's got it made. He's sitting up there on the throne, just looking down on everything. He loves us very much, and he wants us to be blessed, not cursed. And because he is God, and he's a God that is the truth, he can't do anything but curse people if they, it doesn't make any difference how much he loves them, if they don't do what he says. So it's just better to, you know, the way to beat God at his own game is just do what he says, and then he has to give you, okay? It isn't a matter of whether he'll hold back from you. I know he'll do it for others, but not for me. No, the devil's been talking to you too much. You do it and you'll see. He'll bless you too. All right? Now trust him. Go ahead.
And ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves.
You possess nations? Yes, they did. They went in there and possessed all those nations. Amen?
Amen.
In Canaan land. It worked. God didn't lie to him. That's the testimony there. He said, and he's the same way then, before that, and then, and now, and forever. He never changes. What he did for others, he'll do for you. Okay, then what else?
Verse 24. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be.
You know, it's all right to live in a tent out in the wilderness and have the Lord up there above you, but it's a lot better for him to have you with you and to have all that land, you know, and have all the peach and pomegranate trees and apple trees and banana trees and date trees and all that, just to go out there and pick them and everything, you know, and fish and cattle, everything that Israel has. If they get right with the Lord now, God would slaughter all their enemies. He says so. And if people here in the United States would get right with the Lord would just bless them tremendously and build a wall of fire around them where no one could touch you. And none of this bacteria could either. Then what else?
Verse 25. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon.
Wait, no man shall be able to stand before you. Not Russia, not China, not the one world government, the United Nations. They won't be able to stand against us? No, they won't, okay? If you do everything the Lord says, they'll come against you out here, try to go around your house like they did, Koresh and all those people. The reason they got killed Koresh is because he's with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they know what the Vatican is, and the Vatican hates them. And so that's why the United States government, or the New World Order, ordered their execution. And what?
For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Verse 27, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God.
Yeah, see, that's conditional. Amen?
Amen.
That's not unconditional love. That's conditional. A blessing if you do what I say. Lord told me, read these scriptures to the people and teach them. If I was teaching wrong, do you think all that finances would come in and everybody would be getting healed?
No.
No. So I got to be teaching right, amen, because
amen.
God is not going to bless a liar. Okay?
Amen.
No, the Lord's not going to bless the Vatican because they're saying that I'm a... They've so told so many lies, but they came up with a new one, that I'm a part of the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, my God. Ku Klux Klan. They hate Jews. I'm a Jew. Why would I be part of an organization that hates me? And they hate blacks. Now, the Vatican is the one that hates Jews. They're the ones that slaughtered 6 million of them, 6 to 10 million of them, and a bunch of blacks, too. Now, this is, I'm telling what the Bible says about them, and so they have no alternative. They've got to come back at me with something. They have no truth to tell about me, so they got to come in with lies. Not only me, but other people that know what their story is, and that is... that are uncovering their wickedness. They've been massacring people since the day biblical times when they were throwing people to the lion and burning people at the stakes. This is the same Vatican. A lot of the laity in the Catholic cult, they don't realize that it's that bad because there are some priests that seem they talk nice and everything, and they may do be homosexuals and stuff. But they talk nice, but they're still going to hell if they're a homosexual or a child molester. But at any rate, I've met some Catholic priests that I actually liked them. As a matter of fact, 2/3 of our congregation are former Catholics. Amen?
Amen.
I love the Catholic people. Otherwise, I wouldn't be warning them about what kind of an organization they're in. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. And every time I try to find who our persecutors are, I'm not against... I wasn't a Catholic basher or a Pope basher. All I'm doing is defending myself against them. They've come up with so many false charges against us, and they've come against everything that we're doing and born-again Christians do, and I'm just defending ourselves with the truth, and I'm exposing them to Christian churches so that they know who their enemy is, because the Lord says to resist the enemy, and how can we resist the enemy if we don't know who they are? So you got to be, receive what the Lord says about them. Okay, then what?
A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Verse 28, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God.
You see, God is not all love. He curses people if you don't obey him. Amen?
Amen.
And he blesses you with everything, including finances, if you obey him. So if you're broke, you deserve it. But if you listen to the Lord, you can pull out of that very easily, but not by your own methods. You just have to serve the Lord. You have to know God. You can't know him unless you read his word. And his son, you've got to know that he is the Son of God. And whenever you ask God for something, it must be on the power of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name. Because all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. Jesus created everything. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. He blew his breath into the nostrils of the disciples after he was resurrected from the dead. And he said, receive. He didn't say the Holy Ghost. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And he blew his Holy Spirit into them. Because he is the Holy Spirit. He's the triune God, the fullness of the triune God. God the Father's in him, which is the Holy Spirit. All right? Go ahead.
And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Verse 29. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Verse 30. Are they not on the other side Jordan by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal beside the plains of Moreh? Verse 31, for ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. Verse 32, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Translation, verse 17 through 32. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and your harvest will fail. Then you will quickly die in that good land the Lord is now giving you.
See, these are curses from the Lord. He's the one that proclaimed that you'll have them, and he's the one that sends the curses, as well as the blessings if you do what he says. Then what?
Verse 18. So commit yourselves completely to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands as a reminder, and wear them on your forehead. Verse 19. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you are getting up again. Verse 20. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 21. So that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Verse 22. Be careful to obey all the commands I give you. Show love to the Lord your God.
So you just can't. You got to be careful to do it. You can't just live aimless, you know, hear the word and then walk away from it and just immediately go into your own style or your own groove of living. You have to begin being careful to do everything he says. Then what?
Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and clinging to him.
That's how you show love, that you love the Lord. Do what he says. Then what else?
Verse 23, then the Lord will drive out all the nations in your land.
If you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, I'll drive all your enemies away. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's incredible promises. It's just fabulous. It's wonderful that we have such promises in this world. To be able to drive away our enemies, to make all our troubles go away, and to cause us to have finances. Yeah, we're going to have tribulations. The Lord promised that. There's going to be some troubles, but he is able to deliver us from them all. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Then the Lord will drive out all the nations in your land, though they are much greater and stronger than you. Verse 24, wherever you set your feet, the land will be yours. Your frontiers will stretch from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north, and from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Verse 25, no one will be able to stand against you, for the Lord your God will send fear and dread ahead of you, as he promised you, wherever you go in the whole land. Verse 26, today I have given you a choice between a blessing and a curse! 27. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. Verse 28. You will receive a curse if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from his way by worshiping foreign gods. Verse 29. When the Lord your God brings you into the land to possess it, you must pronounce a blessing from Mount Gerizim and a curse from Mount Ebal. Verse 30. These two mountains are west of the Jordan River in the land of the Canaanites, who live in the Jordan Valley near the town of Gilgal. They are located toward the west, not far from the Oaks of Moreh. Verse 31. For you are about to cross the Jordan to occupy the land the Lord your God has given you when you are living in that land. Verse 32. You must be careful to obey all the laws and regulations I'm giving you today.
Okay, that was the last verse of chapter 11, Deuteronomy, and now we have some commentary.
11, verse 1. Moses calls the people to the twin commands, to love God and to keep his commandments. 11, verse 6. Moses used the rebellion of Dathan and Abiram, Numbers chapter 16, to stress Israel's failure and God's judgment. The Lord did that. These men rebelled against the authority of God's chosen leader, Moses, and were destroyed by God. In their rebellion, Dathan and Abiram claimed Moses had brought them out of the land flowing with milk and honey, in other words, Egypt, and into desolation. 11 verse 9 through 12. These verses contrast the promised land with Egypt. 11 verse 14 and 15. Moses abruptly switches in his presentation to the use of the words God had spoken to him, quote, I, in other words, God, will give you, dot, 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 I, bracket, God, and bracket, will send, unquote. 11, verse 26 through 32.
Jesus said, God said, I am, some, I am sent you. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the B-Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the Almighty. And there's this one I am after the other. He's God. Amen?
Amen.
That's who I am. He ams. Amen?
Amen.
He ams God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
These verses conclude the address Moses started in chapter 5, verse 1. The Israelites are placed in a position of decision as Moses sets before them a blessing or a curse, that is, condition upon their response to God and his law. So God is conditional. He does not love us unconditionally. The opposing realities of blessing and cursing are so important that two mountains in Canaan were to serve as perpetual reminders of these dynamics. 11 verse 30. The location described here is Shechem, which lies between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Verse 29. Now a reiteration, 11 verse 1. Obedience to God's instructions must be a direct result of our love for him. Love for God is the major motivating force in our obedience for the civil, ceremonial, and moral obligations he requires of us. Our love and our obedience must be a natural response to the love he has shown to us.
And that means fear. One of the obediences of the Lord is to fear him and keep all of his commands. That's the whole duty of man. Amen?
Amen.
So that's one of the major thrusts. Then what else?
That's it.
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 11, book of Deuteronomy. We went through the whole 32 verses and commentary here. And so let's remember to love the Lord and to let's find out what he likes. He likes us if we prefer people, our brothers and sisters before ourselves, and that we are concerned about other people's souls going to heaven. He loves that we are concerned about human souls. He was so concerned about all the human souls in the world that he went and gave his own life. Even though they don't get, won't come to him, he still gave his life so they could have a chance. If they deny him, that's their very big problem. So let's love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's remember that all day, today. And, if you should live tomorrow, till tomorrow, well, then you have to remember it then as well. But remembering for today is sufficient because it's evil. Every evil force in the country and the world is going to come against you to stop you from loving, to keeping God's commandments. Meditate on that. Remember it. Be ready. Be fully armored and armed with the Word of God, and defend your soul, the Spirit of the Lord in you, because that's your very life. Give glory unto the Lord by keeping His commandments, by doing everything that He says to do. Until chapter 12, praise the Lord. Amen.